in the church has a calendar. And the church calendar is different than like our fiscal calendar where the year begins on January 1st. In the church, the year actually begins the fourth Sunday before Christmas, and it's called Advent. And so we celebrate that. We do Advent here. And then, of course, we celebrate Christmas and the birth of Christ. And then in the church calendar is Epiphany, which we celebrated last week. Today in the church calendar is the day that we remember the Lord's baptism. So on the church calendar, the reason that it's the second Sunday is the Lord was baptized in the Jordan River by his cousin, John the Baptist, and then he went out for 3.5 years to do his ministry. And so it's fitting that they picked the second Sunday because it's right after Epiphany when the manifestation or the revelation of Jesus as the Messiah to the Gentiles comes that he begins his ministry. So today we celebrate the Lord's baptism and we remember his baptism. When he was baptized in the Jordan River, John the Baptist buried him under the waters. And it says he raised him back up and the clouds opened up and a dove descended from heaven and the voice of God said, "This is my son, the one I love." And he began his ministry. My prayer as you begin this year and as we remember our baptism today, my prayer is that you're going to hear the voice of God saying, "This is my son. This is my daughter. This is my child whom I love and am well pleased with." That's my prayer as your pastor, that you'll know, that you'll know, that you'll know, that you'll know that your Heavenly Father loves you as much as he loved his son, because he gave his son for you. That's radical. That he loved his son, he comes up out of the water, he says, "This is my son whom I love and I'm well pleased," and he gives his son as a sacrifice so that you could be free. That's my prayer. We're going to remember the Lord's baptism, but today we're going to remember our baptism. And I picked two passages of Scripture. The first passage is from the book of Colossians, chapter 2. And we're going to pick up on verse 6 today. Put it in a context. Paul is in prison. He's chained to a Roman guard. And he writes a letter to the church in Colossus, the people whom he established a church, and he writes to them to encourage them. And really, if you read the book of Colossians, it's not very long. I'd encourage you to go read it this week. He wants to tell them that Christ is the Messiah. He also wants to tell them that Christ is the head of the church. So he writes this letter, and he wants to tell them that Christ, Jesus Christ, is the one who died for them. Listen to the words that Paul writes. Think of this. Now, he's in prison writing a letter to people who will live, and he's facing his death. He says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him." Let that sink in. Just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. That's a great warning. See to it that no one takes you captive to hollow philosophies. Verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. What a proclamation. The fullness of God is in Jesus Christ. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Verse 11, in him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but by the circumcision done by Christ. Verse 12. And this is the verse that reflects on Christ's baptism, but our baptism. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through our faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead, now he's going to be hard on us. He says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. In essence, he's saying, we were dead in our sin. But God made us alive in Christ. He forgave us our sins. We should get an amen or a hallelujah. Huh? I mean, if you underline or you write in your Bible, I'd circle that. He forgave us our sins. We were dead in these sins, but he made us alive in Christ. How? By forgiving us of our sins. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Every Sunday we have a cross here. And it's to remind us of the triumph, the victory, the life, not the death, but the life that God has given us in Jesus Christ. So let's look at the very first verse. He says, just as you have received Christ as Lord, if you've been baptized, many of you have. If you've been baptized, whether you were immersed under the water, whether you were baptized as a child, sprinkled, baptism is effectual. When you were baptized, you made a confession, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And so that's what he's saying here. Just as you receive Christ as Lord. I don't know when you were baptized. Some of you were baptized as adults. Some of you were baptized as infants. Maybe you went through confirmation class and then going through a confirmation class or a CCD class, depending on your faith background, you made a confession. And my prayer is that all of you here sitting here today have made that confession that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. If you've not been baptized, well, you can be baptized today or you can come talk to me and talk about baptism, because baptism is a powerful experience where you unite yourself with Christ. He says, when you have received Christ as Lord, you received Jesus as your Savior. You were dead in your sins. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our debts. We're dead in that. And he says he makes us alive in this. What struck me this week in my study in the Greek was he says receive. When you received Christ as Lord. To receive means, I'm going to reach out and grab Patty's hand. It means to take hold of and not let go. He says, I receive Christ and I take hold of him. I take hold of him. He says, when you received Christ as Lord, it means to take hold, to learn from or come alongside. So it's like, if I receive Christ as Lord, I'm going to come alongside him right here. And we're going to walk together, shoulder to shoulder, or hand in hand. When you receive Christ, when you take hold of him, when you walk along with him, he says, but don't miss it, he says, Jesus Christ as Lord. Wow. Now that's a little strange, isn't it? Especially in our society. Because if Jesus is Lord, that means he's the master, or he's the ruler, or he's the authority. He's the boss. Well, in our culture, we tend to want autonomy. Autonomy means, in the Greek, self-law. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. No one's the boss of me. But that's not what Paul is saying. He says, when you received Christ, when you came alongside him, you said, I received Christ Jesus as Lord. He's going to be Lord of my life. So that means I'm going to go, Jesus, what do you want me to do today? Jesus, what do you want me to say today? Jesus, what do you want me to give today? Because, see, I would go to my master or my teacher and ask him. This is radical, this very first verse. He says, when you receive Christ as Lord, you're saying you're taking Jesus as your master, your ruler, or the power and authority over you. Verse 6 says, so then, just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to live in him. So, if we were baptized, I don't know when you were baptized, but if when you were baptized, it doesn't mean that that stops you living in the Lord. Because Paul says, when you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue, peripatato in the Greek, it means to continually walk, continually come alongside. Actually, in the Greek, it means to follow along or walk along with Jesus. I mean, that's radical. It's like, you guys probably think I'm crazy, but in the morning I get up and go, good morning, Jesus. What do you want me to do today? No, I don't really want to do that. Are you sure? I really don't want to do that. You guys never have those conversations, right? But see, when we ask Jesus as our Lord, he says, continually come alongside, walk along. Actually, in the Greek, peripatato means to walk back and forth. Walk back and forth. Walk back and forth with Jesus. So you're baptized, maybe as a baby, maybe as an adult, and then you go out and live your life. Not even thinking that you're supposed to be walking with Jesus continually. The peripatato in the Greek, it's a present active imperative verb, which means it's an imperative. It's not a suggestion. It's not, well, you can just walk with Jesus today on Sunday morning for an hour. It means to get up and walk with Jesus every day, every hour, every minute. Now you say, Pastor, you're getting a little too personal. But it's an imperative, it's a command, it's not a suggestion, it's not a good idea, it's not, well, just maybe do it when you're baptized. He says, continually walk with Jesus back and forth every day. Peripatao. That's the Greek word there. So let's turn to John for a minute. John chapter 1. We were there last week, and I want to come back to it today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made, and in him was life. And that life was the light of all men and women. The light shines in the darkness. I love verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never. In the Greek, it means never, ever, 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 ever overcome it. I know there's times in our life when things get dark. Maybe when you're struggling emotionally or physically or mentally, it seems dark. But if you get back up and continually walk with Jesus, he's the light. And the darkness can never overcome it, so that through him all men and women might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. That's so true. Yet to all who received him, took a hold of him, held on to him, claimed him as Jesus Christ, Lord, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I'd underline that verse. If you received him, you made that confession when you were baptized, and you believed, you're a child of the King. Not just a king, but you're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Greek word here is like, means to tabernacle. He pitched his tent. He built his house and said, come on and live with me in my tent. Let's walk together. Let's walk back and forth. Let's walk to and fro. Let's traverse the ground that you're being called to traverse to. He says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow. Jesus Christ as Lord, full of grace, full of truth. If you're looking for grace, you can find it in Jesus. If you're looking for truth, you can find it in Jesus. Why? Because he's full of it. And not in that sense, you know. But he's full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, this was he whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. And from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. But God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. What a wonderful illustration of who Jesus is. Paul writes, if you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live. Live is the word. Live in him. But John gives us this, the big word is incarnation. The Word that becomes flesh. The eternal Word, the creative Word, the incarnate Word. God becomes human. We celebrate the birth of Christ, Christmas. But can you imagine the God of all glory, exchanging his glory to come down as a baby and make his dwelling among us and to live with us. John 1 is very similar to Genesis 1, and I'm going to have Genesis 1 up there for a minute. Genesis 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness can never overcome it." Do you know that every morning, I don't know if you're a morning person. I love mornings. Every morning I sit out, not when it's cold, but I sit out on my porch and wait for the sun to pierce the darkness. You see, the light's going to come into the darkness and it will overcome it. Every morning there's a sunrise. Some people are sunset people. They run to the sunset and hold on to it. But sometimes when we're facing the darkness, we don't want to let go of the light. Jerry Sitzer, in his book, A Grace Disguised, says, turn around and run into the darkness because the sun's going to come up on the other side. That's radical. The light's going to shine into the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. He said, let there be light. And God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. So God speaks the word, and he creates. He creates the heavens and the earth. God speaks the word and he creates light and darkness. So John, when he writes his gospel, he says, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. I put it up here in a different type of paraphrase because I don't want you to miss the word. It should be up there. Go to the next slide. There you go. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos of God. And I underlined it. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning because he spoke it. Through the Word, everything was made. Nothing was made without the Word. In the Word was life. In the life word, there was light. In the life word, light shines in the darkness, and darkness can never overcome it. The word was now in the world, even though the world had been made through the word. I mean, this is radical theology, that the word becomes flesh and comes into the world. The word made the world, but now the word chose to come and live with us in the world, but the world did not recognize him. So my question, my so what, do we recognize the word? Maybe better yet, how do we recognize the word? You can go to the next slide. The word came to those who were his own, but they did not receive him. My so what question is, do you receive him? Do you receive him? Paul says, just then as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. To those who received the word, to those who believed his word, the word Jesus gave all who received and believed in the word Jesus the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent or human will, but born of God. The word became flesh. The word dwelt among us. The word let his glory be seen. And we have seen his glory of the word. The glorious word from the one and only, the glorious word from the Father, the glorious word full of grace, the glorious word full of truth. So today's message, we're going to close, and it's going to be more experiential rather than expository. What I mean by that is I want you to experience the word rather than just hear the word from Pastor Dave. Up here we have a basket of black stones. It says in Micah, I think I have a slide for it. It says in Micah, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgressions for the remnant of his inheritance? Actually, to take hold of or to receive means to receive your inheritance. So who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgressions for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights. He delights in steadfast love. Many of you know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But Micah the prophet wrote this, who's a God like this that delights in steadfast love? Let's go to the next verse, Jaden. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Wow. I don't know your sins. I don't know your struggles. I don't know your shame. I don't know your guilt. I don't know your fear. I don't know your doubt. I don't know what's holding you back from receiving Christ as Lord, but it's most likely our sin. But who is a God that passes over our sin because he delights in his steadfast love? Why? Because he wants to take our sins and cast them in to the depths of the sea. Isaiah the prophet tried to explain it this way on the next slide. Isaiah the prophet said, let's come and reason together, says the Lord. Though our sins are like scarlet, they'll be made white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they'll become like wool. So Isaiah says, come on, let's reason together. Though our sins separate us, they can be, though they're black, they can be made white as snow. In baptism, in verse 12 of Colossians chapter 2, it says, we are buried with Christ, and we are raised into a new life. In baptism, it's as if we're this little black thing that's buried with Christ, and we're raised, this little white thing, into a new life. It says in Revelation chapter 2, it should be up there, it says, he who has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Every week I say, Lord, speak to me. Every morning I say, Jesus, speak to me. My word for this year, and I'm going to talk about the word in a minute, my word is hear. I want to hear him more clearly. I don't know what your word will be. But he says, he who has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. To him who overcomes, I'll give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I'll give him a white stone, and on that stone a new name written on which no one knows except him who receives it. So in a minute, I'm going to invite you to come forward. I'm going to... You can pick up one stone, two stones, three stones. You can pick up a handful, but remember there's others coming behind you. I don't know what's holding you back this year. From receiving Christ as your Lord. I don't know if it's your sin. I don't know if it's your shame. I don't know if it's your failures. I don't know if it's your past. But it's a new year. And God wants to give you a new name. So you can come forward. I'm going to invite the worship team to come first. And you can let go. Let go of the sin that clings so closely. Though they're like scarlet, they're made white as snow. Why? Because he's a God of compassion. He's a God who delights in his steadfast love. In the beginning was the Word. And over here, I hope my mic doesn't change. These are the words from 2017. That many of you put your words up here. A word of intention is what it is. What is the Spirit saying to you for this year? What is Jesus saying? This is the way, walk in it. Walk along with me this year in this word. These are the words from 2017. These are the words from 2018. These are the words from 2019. Actually, I think probably this is... These are going to be the words for 2020, and I know who wrote that first word. It's the person that made the poster, I think. And her, and it's not my wife. Her word was joy. A word of intention is, what is the word that God is giving you for this year? To work on, to walk with, to live with, to allow that word to shape you and to mold you and to fashion you. So today, we're going to let go of the past. You're going to come up, and these two bowls have water in it. And the reason they have water in it, because I want you to put your hand in here and be buried with Christ and pick up a white stone and be raised with Christ. On each end are our names. We've done this for several years. Pick a new name. God may use that name in this new year. And if you want, if God has given you a word already, you can go to there's markers on the prayer table, and you can write your word on the poster, on the canvas. This is a blank canvas. This represents the blank year of 2020. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Paul says, therefore, since you have received Christ as Lord, Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, for you are buried with Christ, and you are raised into a new life. There's no better time than right now to walk into that new life, because it's a new year. My prayer as your pastor is you'll really know how much God loves you. That's my prayer. It brings tears to my eyes because he loves you and he wants you to walk in that newness of that love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we take these experiential things of black stones and water and white stones and water and new names and words and Lord, but we want to experience you. We want you to come and live in us, to make your dwelling in us, to dwell in our lives, not just on Sunday morning for an hour, but every hour and every minute of every day, that we would continue to live in you in a new life. Let the past be gone. Let it be buried into the depths of the sea because you delight in your steadfast love. Lord, you know each person here. You know our sins. You know the shame, you know the guilt, you know the fear, you know the failures. Lord, we give them to you. We let go of them today so that we can walk in the light, to walk in the life of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team because they're going to sing. So the worship team is going to do this first. And if you want to do it, that's fine. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. Whatever the Holy Spirit says to you. And then we'll worship some songs together. So you take some black stones, 1, 2, 3, or 20, or 30, and let go. Or 50. Let it go. You can say a prayer over it. Let it go. Let go of the past. And continue to live in him. It's a new year. It's a new life. It's a life to live in Christ.